The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Is your hard-earned money shrinking fast, need some help? Call my friends at Lear Capital to learn about owning gold and silver, the ultimate protection hedge against inflation and market volatility. And experts are predicting metals are set to soar. Learn more. Call 800-430-2919.
This is the Seculo Brothers Podcast. We want truth, no more lies, no more lies. We speak how we feel, no more compromise. Take away our freedom, huh? Now, this is America, land of the brave and a home of the free, and a country full of people feel just like me. Land of the brave and a home of the free, and a country full of people feel just like me.
Welcome to Seculo Brothers Podcast. It's Logan Seculo.
Jordan Seculo is here.
You ready for nuclear fallout?
You know, I don't have my food prepped.
You got nothing. You got nothing.
Well, I feel like most of pretzels, maybe.
Yeah, most. I don't feel like that lasts that long. I mean, sealed maybe. I feel like I eat a lot of processed foods, so I feel like I have a lot of things. Just it looks like I'm a prepper. If you open it up, be like, that's a lot of peanut butter. Oh, that's a lot of.
But I think you need like the MREs.
Oh, like the whole kits.
Yeah, you gotta have like a.
If you're one of those sponsors and you're listening, hit us up.
Listen, it makes you think twice about it.
It does. And look, this came out of Newsweek yesterday. And this is real. This
Newsweek.
It's like a, you know, reputable-ish.
Not just us coming with a list of...
No, this isn't... I didn't find this on some
the headlines would say.
Some sort of Reddit. This is from Newsweek. And it's not done very tongue-in-cheek. A little bit, but not much. And it's by Jess Thompson. And it was the best place... This is the headline. Best place to survive nuclear war in the U.S., so let that sink in. I'll just read the first line. It says, in the wake of President Biden's mention of nuclear Armageddon and Elon Musk tweeting that nuclear war probability is rising rapidly, it's natural that people have pondered online what they would do and where they would shelter in the event of nuclear war. And then it goes on and on about some of the places that they would encourage, and they get pretty detailed in it. And that's why I'm saying it's not done like in jest. There's things about, well, the rain can spread
the soil.
And they go break down each location, why the Rocky Mountains may be a good spot, why Northern California may be a good spot because of the amount of rain that will come in and then neutralize.
But some of these Western states are not.
No.
Because they host the nuclear silos for the weapons.
Yeah. If you look at it, they said some of the cities that were some estimates. I mean, obviously, everyone's kind of, they said, you don't know. Obviously, we don't know. There's a lot of different variables. Maine, Oregon, Northern California, and Western Texas are some of, they said, some of the safest locations in case nuclear war due to lack of large urban centers and not many power plants.
Right.
So because they're thinking that it obviously could spread that way. So,
well, here in Tennessee, we have a big nuclear
power plant. And they said they would, obviously, New York and Washington, D.C., those kind of places.
You like how they call it like the Tennessee Valley Authority?
What do you mean?
Like, how do you figure out what does that mean?
We're also part of the Ohio Valley, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that a thing? We're part of the OVC.
There's just new plants. Yeah.
That's also like a basketball.
Which is clean energy. Or
what?
Clean energy that works.
Yeah.
It has worked.
I wish I had
a nuclear reactor?
No. I wish I knew more about this stuff. I don't know. That's like one of the few topics I don't know.
Spread around a lot. It's like we don't really, unless you're like in it.
We don't even really talk about it.
The U.S. government doesn't talk about it either. Because they're highly secured locations because it's nuclear. You know, radiation reactors.
Yeah, it says a good place to be in an area which is in rain shadow. Which sounds like I don't want to be in rain shadow.
Yeah, it sounds very sad. Like,
sounds nuclear. Again. Like nuclear
rain.
I'll
just keep broadcasting until it doesn't work.
The Rocky, yeah, you're like Terminator 3. That's a weird reference, I know, but that's all I can think of. The end of Terminator 3, spoilers. A good place to be in the area would be in rain shadow. The Rocky Mountains cause the rain clouds to release their water as rain. So if you go further east from the Rockies, then you end up in a rain shadow. I would want to be in a rain shadow, as rain can bring a lot of fallout out of the sky. Oh, it can take the
nuclear fallout.
The nuclear
out of
fallout.
The sky.
That's the most reaction.
Because I wouldn't read it that way. The first time I read like that sentence, I read like, a lot will fall out of the sky.
Like rain.
Not
initially.
It will remove the fallout. I don't like that he casually, or she, casually just refers to it as fallout. That is from...
At that point, I'm probably not existing.
I know. It feels like a lot of work.
You know, God created us all differently. Some of us to survive.
That was Dr. Mark... Oh, this, I had to do this.
Just say it.
I'm just getting Mark Foreman, an associate professor at Chalmers University of Technology in Gothenburg, Sweden.
Okay.
We're trusting this guy?
Yeah. You know, I feel like we don't want to get to that point.
I mean, I feel like it's kind of obvious. He's saying, you know, I think that the more rural, the better.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
But it's strategically rural because, like I said, some of those places out west you'd think would be great. That's where the weapons launch from.
Yeah.
Like they come out of the ground there.
Yeah. Old Fort Knox.
The silos.
And the gold. All that.
And places that you might think like Tennessee where we are.
Yeah.
But really, we're the whole state because it's a long, you know, it's a wide state. And it's major, actually major cities.
Can you believe we're having this discussion and like a little bit serious?
It's not. Yeah.
I mean, not that we're not being serious, it wouldn't be, but the fact that this is an article, like I said, not done in jest.
Our president said it, nuclear Armageddon, so we're not making, you know, I wouldn't be talking about nuclear Armageddon if the leader of the free world wasn't.
I do think it'd be fun to like poll your audience, like for people who listen to this podcast, would they move to Northern California?
Well, if we all move to Northern California, then we could fix California.
Yeah. I mean, I love Northern California.
Rick Rennell might like that.
Rick Rennell,
we could fixcalifornia.com.
Yeah. I like Northern California. It's beautiful. It's one of my favorite places in the country. But yeah, it's...
We're not real welcome there these days.
I haven't been there recently because I've heard it's a nightmare. I've heard that it's a mess in terms of...
San Francisco on up?
Yeah. They're talking more of the...
Out
in the middle of nowhere.
In between, like, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't spent that much time around there. I've spent my time in San Francisco and
a lot of Pacific Northwest type.
Not really, no.
I have family
Oregon,
out there,
Washington.
On my wife's side.
I'm not there.
So I spent a lot of time in Oregon. It's beautiful. And Portland pre-Antifa taking over was a really cool city.
What a show.
But it's all real.
You know, we're all talking pre-Antifa. Oregon was great.
Portland.
And then, you know, before there was a threat of nuclear war, I really liked San Francisco. But, you know, it's really gone downhill. With all the human excrement that I've been told. And what?
Needles everywhere.
Oh, needles. I thought you said eels. I was like, are there eels on the streets? Street eels? I don't want to deal with street eels.
Definitely not. But with nuclear war, who knows?
That's going to be Kanye's next tweet. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about street eels. And you're like, oh, God, no. He's gone after the street eels.
DEFCON.
I'm going to go DEFCON on the street eels.
And we don't know which DEFCON is. It's our friend.
Street eels would be a good... like cartoon, like it would be something that kids would watch, like in the 80s. Oh man, remember Street Eels? Then everyone has a collective fake memory, like, oh yeah, Street Eels was great. It was great. It was like these giant eels that would hang out in gangs.
Have you had a lot of time with eels? Like, I know our fishermen listeners.
Do I spend time with eels?
No, I'd be happy.
I mean, I've interacted with an eel or two.
Yeah.
Okay, this is such a weird.
Have
God,
you put ones
show.
On the hook before?
No.
Like, we're gonna grab an out. Eel. I mean, it's basically grabbing a snake.
I've been
and putting it onto a hook. It's pretty.
When we've gone scuba diving, we did that for a little while.
You're talking like boar eels.
What are
like
you talking about?
Big green.
Yeah, I'm talking
the
big
about
green
like
ones.
The snake, little snake eels.
I don't really know those. No, I know the big greens.
You know, like come up to your legs.
Electric eels.
Yeah, those are different. That's a different category. I would.
Moray eels are just the devil. When you look at them, I mean, it is.
They survived the nuclear fallout.
I've watched them and just
like you said, they might get huge. Very nuclear fallout.
Oh, just giant eels. But you're scuba diving. Honestly, if they're in a tank, like if you're at Red Lobster and for some reason there's a moray eel, one, that's a problem, I guess. That was a weird example.
Red Lobster.
You know. Like,
I'm sure you could eat them.
Let's go Rainforest
You get to
Cafe.
Select your moray eel to eat?
Yeah, I'm thinking more like the Rainforest Cafe or the aquarium restaurants, like the big restaurants with a big aquarium.
Right,
I don't know why I went to Red Lobster first. They have
good biscuits.
You see them, and it is that, yeah, Cheddar Bay biscuits, the top three biscuit. When you see them, just the way they move and their mouths open and close, it's horrifying.
Dragon nose.
Yeah, they're horrifying.
Yeah.
But cool. But I've kicked one before, and I felt like that was going to be bad when we were scuba diving. I'm kind of a...
Once you floated to the surface, too.
I did. I once almost gave
You're
myself...
You're not supposed to do that.
Gave myself the... What do you call
From
that?
Like 60 feet.
Whatever. No. Yeah. We're probably...
Nitrogen... You get
nitrogen narcosis?
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, that, I'm not a great diver.
They thought you were a sea turtle.
Yeah. So
they thought Logan's head was a sea turtle.
Back before, okay, this is such a weird story. So back before there were integrated weights, if you're a scuba diver, you know, there's integrated weights. It's like weights that you wear weights in your vest to help keep you down. Well, I used to wear a weight belt.
Yep.
And
like Jacques Cousteau.
Yeah. Like it was very quick. Like we only scuba dive for like a few years, and it went very quickly from like the 60s to like modern tech pretty quickly. I always ran out of air. Almost every time. I was using someone's pony tank every time. Every time. And I suck in a lot of air.
Were you just not watching?
I think I just got nervous. I think I just breathe heavy underwater. So I'm underwater, and it felt like everyone kept going down. And I was like, why? I can't get further down. What's happening? How come they?
This was not like the shallow first dive. This was like probably
70
for people
foot.
Who know. Yeah, 70 foot
dive. Something like that. And I'm like, man, I can't get down there. They just keep going down. What's happening here? And then I kicked my foot up and I realized I was at the top of the water. Like I was at the heart and I felt air on my leg. I was like,
without this flag.
Oh, crud.
No flag.
No.
Like you said, the boat went over because they thought while we were waiting for the divers to come up, the people who weren't diving could go see a sea turtle.
Yeah, my mom was on the boat and everyone said, look, there's a turtle. And then they went and looked over and they're like, nope. That's Logan. Hope he's okay. He just did an 80-foot climb without. Which, by the way, you're supposed to like
stop.
Take safety stops to
get your body used. Adjusted.
I just shot up 80 feet because somewhere along the line, my weight belt had come on Velcroed and fallen to the bottom of the ocean, and I clearly shot up fast.
Did you want to be doing any of this?
Looking back on it, I think it was crazy, but I did love it. Yeah. I do look like it does scuba diving. Is the closest I think you can get to visiting another planet.
Yeah.
Or I know that sounds like really out there, but because you feel like you are seeing something that no one gets to see on the bottom of the ocean. I mean, it's probably depends on where you go, and surely there were some dives that felt like, well, I'm just looking at sand. Yeah. But there were some that you'd go and
do you remember where we got the licenses? It was from like a lake in Central Florida.
Oh, that was the worst. The worst
which
dive
was like alligator
I've ever done
just,
is in
it
a
was pitch black dark in this water.
Zero visibility. 0% visibility.
It was like a neighborhood pond.
Yeah. It was a brown, murky lake. And we had to get in and scuba dive. And they're like, look, at 0% visibility, we're going to come up to you. And this is like when you have to take your mask off
and do all these things.
And you can't see the person. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like you're in a horror movie, a person would just appear in front of you because you couldn't see them until they were right there. And they'd have like a dry erase board. And they'd write on it and be like, ready? All right. And then you went through your test. It was horrifying. I mean, that we did a shark dive or did a shark feeding once, which I don't even know if we can legally say that we did this.
You can say you did it. I don't think
it's legal now. They took us out. This was, I think, in the Bahamas. And they took us out, and again,
Stuart Coe, it was really famous.
I am not good at staying still. And they're like, you have to stay really still. You have to crisscross applesauce. I'm sure that's not what they said. Crisscross applesauce.
You go to the bottom, and you stay down.
And you wait, and they release a bucket of chum. And
they swim around.
Blood just starts floating up, and all of a sudden, sharks.
They're reef sharks. They're not.
Yeah, they're not that bad. And
they're still sharks.
This just shows you what happens, because this is what happens to me. So everyone's getting back on board. And I somehow, of course, am the last person back on the boat.
They get a little edgy. They rise.
The sharks.
Yes,
yeah,
they come
because
up.
Because they've fed.
They want some more food.
But now they're like, there's got to be more food.
And they do kind of, at the time, again, they probably don't do this. Because these are not like, it's not a tank. This
they
is
would
in
reach
the
down
ocean.
In the water. I remember just being on the boat, and they would reach down the water, the people who ran the boat, grab a shark by the tail or by the fin, and pull it up out of the water and be like, look, a shark, and then drop it. And it was so crazy. And at that moment, everyone's getting on the boat. Again, I'm last, of course. No one knows why. And I'm about to climb up the ladder, and three dudes just jump at me and they throw me onto the boat. And I see nothing, so I'm like not really traumatized by it. I'm like, what just happened? And like a shark came up, open mouth at your butt. Going at you, and I was like, oh, great. That so, like, everyone else has this collective horrible memory of, like, me being thrown on the boat. But to me, it was just like, I was just getting up a ladder, and these men were like, here you go, here's a hand, boom, and threw me on.
No,
because they said you could see
mouth.
It go, ah. Yeah, they said it was jaw style, open mouth. I'm not.
It was coming for your, meant for your this stuff. Fins.
Yeah.
And that's your foot.
Yeah, because they said, watch out for your fins, your flippers, and I go wild on them.
The shark said, look, there's a turtle.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, that was enough of that. Sorry. That was our diversion. I don't know how we got here. So nuclear fallout. I don't know if I'd want the Bahamas. Probably a good place to go.
It depends on if they use one of those Poseidon nuclear weapons that are...
I don't know enough about this. Okay. What's that?
Okay.
I know Poseidon.
So Putin has Poseidon. They claim to have this weapon. You know, so you have to believe them to some extent.
The Russians.
Yeah, so it's a nuclear weapon that goes underwater. So, they have that technology, of course, the submarines. And they have the world's largest submarine that's supposedly carrying this. And it's now moving. So it's now in the oceans. And it hits the coastline underground, causes a tsunami.
There are people on this? Or is this
plus
like
a nuclear fallout. So you take – so it's like a tsunami.
So when President Trump said, can we blow up the hurricane, it wasn't a bad thought if they're creating a tsunami from a – that makes sense. That makes sense to have it. But
then you get the fallout that comes with it. So it's a double whammy.
So don't go there. Go where the fallout – there's a lot of rain.
You have to pick your island strategically. Mm-hmm.
You want one with a lot of rain.
I guess, but I thought rain carries the...
I'm not a scientist.
At some point, it's burning you, and then you... So, I guess...
You know what's burning you right now? Inflation. And that's what
that's true.
Talk to you about our friends at Lear Capital. That's right.
Well, when you're talking about nuclear war...
Yeah, when we're talking about the best places to go, I don't know where they keep all of this gold. But maybe we need to talk to them about that to make like a secret room for us.
Well, you can get it if you want.
But you can get it as well. If you want to learn more about this, because look, there is a lot going on. The cost of everything is going up. I did see Ducey. He asked the press secretary, Jean-Pierre, he said, so when you said the prices of gas are going down was because of President Biden, what about now that they're going back up? Is it also his fault? And she's like, well, there's a lot of factors that goes into it.
It's the Saudis.
But there's a lot of factors that, yeah, exactly. We'll talk about that coming up. And a lot of people are looking at ways to adjust their savings, their retirement, to diversify what they're going on. And a lot of people are starting to look at purchasing precious metals like gold and silver. And do you know you can add physical gold and silver to your IRA or your 401k? There's a lot of options to do that. And we want to encourage you right now, if you want to learn more, call Lear Capital today for your free precious metal investor guide. And you can also ask about the Lear Advantage IRA that lets you transfer or roll over, like I said, your old 401k or IRA into a gold and silver tax advantage IRA. Plus, Lear is offering free shipping and up to $15,000 in bonus gold or silver with a qualified purchase. Call for details at 800-430-2919. Again, use that phone number because that specific number is connected to this show, the Secular Brothers Podcast. And Lear Capital, they're the most rated precious metal company on Consumer Affairs with a near-perfect rating on Trustpilot. So call 800-430-2919.
Had a pretty interesting conversation today with someone making a lot of news.
Oh.
Tulsi Gabbard.
That's right. Tulsi Gabbard.
I think unless she did something out west, which I would have made sense because that's too early.
No, that's too early. No, I think
we were the first people to talk to her live since her announcement this morning.
Yeah.
That she's leaving the Democrat Party. She launched her new podcast. And she was on live with us on Seculo. Take her questions about exactly what she said, which is she talked about she's leaving the party because of things like cowardly wokeness, which, listen, we get the benefit of working in a conservative world. So we don't have to deal with that like so much in our work life.
No.
Definitely not woke at the ACLJ offices.
Sensitive. Might be more sensitive than people like sometimes these comments. No, I'm kidding.
You know, yeah. But she talked, and we all hear about it. She's talking about being that friend who everybody texts who said, you know, like, I can't say this to anybody, but you're the person I can say this to because we're the conservative. And they're afraid to say it to too many other people because either their livelihood is at stake. I get it to some extent. Like, you can get fired these days for taking a political position. And so she's not just doing it for herself. She's saying, you know, join me.
Yeah.
And not just running to the Republican Party, because I don't think that would be very authentic. Like, you don't go from...
I don't think she's a Republican. I think she's someone who
And I think people are questioning what even those titles mean these days.
Right.
Have the Donald Trump.
How do you define
right.
How do you define a Republican at this point or a Democrat? Because the spectrum is very large.
She started her career, I think she was 21 when she got really involved in Democrat politics. I was probably a year older than me. I was like 16 when I started getting really involved maybe with Republican politics and then more seriously 18. So whole lives you work within this party, it's pretty tough. It'd be too tough to leave because friends, colleagues, relationships, But she got to the point where even identifying as a Democrat was impossible. And I think there's a lot of people like that. And you need people who will say, you know, you could do this too.
Yeah, I appreciated it. And I sent it around to a few friends of mine who I think are on that sort of teetering edge of not sure where they fit politically. At this point, probably a lot of people listening to this are not sure where they fit, like you said, politically.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not as hard right. Maybe they're not they're more progressive, but they're not a leftist. So to her come out and do this, and again, this was on her podcast, the Tulsi Gabbard Show, which just launched today. It's about a half an hour of her
opening statement, kind of.
Kind of, yeah, and breaking down sort of issue by issue why she made these decisions. And then, of course, she was on Seculo this afternoon. And I found it pretty fascinating to hear some of her takes aren't that – some of them you may not agree with. She has a lot of environmental takes that maybe some people don't. I mean, I personally feel like we are moving towards a different place when it comes to the way we treat the environment, whether that's – now, something you may not be like – I'm not talking about electric cars or fossil fuels or whatever, but just in general – I think there is some talk about that. There's talk about ways we can do better with technology with that. But she talks a little bit about that.
But then moves into
pro-life protesters and them getting 11 years in prison. Those kind of things. She discusses a lot of the topics that come up here. So I appreciated it. I'm excited to see what this means. She is definitely a somewhat controversial figure and has been, and since she really ran for president against Donald Trump in 2020. And a lot of people, like I told you, I feel like when the campaigns were all happening, she was one of the names that came up of, if I have to vote for a Democrat, she would be who I voted for. And a lot of people said, if something had happened, I would have switched parties to her.
And that's what I'm talking about.
That's interesting.
I know the party activists who are lifelong Republicans. They've worked through the county. I've seen their careers move as mine careers moved. They've gone from like the county party and were helping volunteer. And they made that decision to use their free time outside of work. And I didn't maybe fully understand the scope of that at the time because I was young. I didn't have a family.
Yeah,
but I realized they were taking their time to volunteer. And they moved them up. A lot of them have been elected officials now, some statewide elected officials. And, you know, I look back. To me, those are the party actors. That's a lot of your identity. And I'd be honest to tell all of you, I mean, a lot of mine, it'd be very tough for me to say I'm, you know, turning on the Republican Party and giving up on it. Because you are doing that, too. You're saying, this place, I can't save this.
Mm-hmm.
We have to just kind of actually work to defeat it.
Look, and you've seen that sort of the opposite.
We said, who's the other option there? When she says, vote for change, she's telling people really to vote Republican.
Yeah. Unless they're trying something else. And we don't know what her overall game plan is. You have people trying this third party, fourth party system. It never quite pans out.
Yeah, I've seen her. She hasn't really said
I watched Andrew Yang. He was on the Chris Cuomo show on News Nation talking about his third party, the forward party. And I'll be honest, and I don't dislike Andrew Yang. I think he kind of got shafted sort of the way that Tulsi did, where it was like, as soon as they showed a hint of not being a progressive leftist, they were, you know, shown the door. I don't agree with a lot of his stuff. I think he did some wacky stuff, honestly, when he was running for president. But I watched him.
Was he going to give money to everybody?
What?
Was he going to hand out money?
Yeah. I think there was a universal universal salary, whatever it was called. Something like that, right?
Universal basic income.
Yeah, UBI. That's right. It was his big thing. Sounds nice. Great.
Then we kind of ended up doing that with COVID bailouts.
Yeah, we kind of had to. I think he kind of said that too. Look, this is what I said. And both of them kind of took, Tulsi and Yang both took kind of a nuanced approach to life.
Well, and that brought in people really to the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party just said, we don't want these people here.
Right. And look, Tulsi put up just on Twitter alone, her announcement has 4 million views right now. So, I mean, that's a pretty sizable amount of people who care. Like, that's pretty wild that many people care.
About leaving a political party.
Yeah, a person who, you know, kind of
ideologically had already done it.
Yeah, but it wasn't like she was a main stage. Imagine if Chris Christie right now said, I am becoming a Democrat.
I believe it.
Well, not only would I believe it, I don't think anyone would care.
I would, but he'd probably be on Chris Cuomo.
He probably would be too. Yeah.
That's true. I feel like he might be on there tonight.
He may be, yeah. I was going to say the forward party.
I don't trust him.
Well, the Ford Party right now is saying, well, we're just going to endorse candidates around the country, kind of like a pack, and say,
so pick and choose.
We're just going to say this person, this, this person, and this. I just don't know if there's an appetite.
Do that? I mean, already there's a lot of groups doing
that. I
don't
know if there's an appetite for a Forward Party. I don't know if there's an appetite
for... It sounds very liberal.
It does
sound. Ford is like progressive. Communism.
Progressive is Forward.
Socialist ads are usually say that. A lot of Russian propaganda is translated. You can actually, if you translate, it's Ford.
Yeah, I think it's probably the wrong name.
I think you want a name that's a little bit more...
And he kind of said, well, this is going to be for me to run for president. He didn't say that. He's like, I'm focused right now, but he definitely didn't say, I'm not.
Yeah, MSNBC is lead Ford.
The Rock did say he's not running for president right now.
Yeah. Well, if I could recruit him to our side.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure.
He's been both.
I feel like he is in a similar place as a lot of people like Tulsi Gabbard who just...
We're talking about Dwayne The Rock Johnson, by the way. Black Adam in the upcoming movie. He endorsed Biden, but before that, he was speaking at the RNC, and that's with the WWE era. I think there are a lot of people who will see that kind of person rise up, and it will be interesting. I'll see if they can pull some people. Now, she is pretty aggressive on some of the issues that are social-related that may become hotbed topics for the progressive left is not going to embrace it.
No.
And that is
they're going to turn on wokeness. They've gone all in.
Yeah.
So whatever that means, I talked to her about that. I was like, it's a changing definition. I mean, like, just to keep up with what you can't say today or else you get canceled or lose your job. I mean, it's bigger than just a bunch of celebrities getting canceled. We're talking about, like, you can lose your job at a bank because you say something that's not ESG. You know, it's now goes against their investment policies, the ESG stuff and all that.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I mean, watching it very closely. I know that the upcoming episode, our dad's going to be on.
Yeah,
so
we have a personal connection there.
Yeah, and she's always been good to us in terms of providing another point of view. Like, we did Revenge of the Taliban, which is available on YouTube. It's a 10-part documentary series we did real-time during the Afghanistan withdrawal. She's on it, and then you have a lot of other people, and hers is this very anti... I don't say she's anti-war, but she's anti-big business war. The military industrial complex and those kind of things she talks about a lot. And then we were able to offer, other people's point of view, like Mike Waltz, who said, he's much more pro-war in his rhetoric. And we were able to find these people who would all come to us to spread their point of view. And that's refreshing. I did say the one sadness I have with this is that we no longer can say that. We have a Democratic friend.
Who ran for president.
Yeah, exactly. Who ran against the president that is most controversial.
It was a time. People were confused. They didn't know where to go.
I get it.
Remember, Donald Trump proved himself as president. But there was a lot of questions before because he wasn't a politician and didn't have a record in politics. And most of his donations were to Democrats.
Yeah.
But he carried out through policies and won even more people over.
Speaking of policies, there's a lot of policies going down at the border right now. I don't know if you heard this. There's a crisis happening. And this is an ad read, but I want to tell you that this is an issue that we've been talking about at great length, and we discuss it here about what's happening at the border because of the way that illegal drug trafficking, really has affected all of our lives. And it has turned our southern border into a war zone. And I want you to check out a new 6-part limited documentary series from Turning Point USA and from Salem. It's called Border Battle. It's available right now. It exposes the sheer evil and inhumanity of the drug cartels and the illegal drug trade. And again, it's a lot about fentanyl. And obviously, that is something that has impacted pretty much everyone. And how the drug fentanyl and the cartel Jalisco New Generation have created really the worst. One of the worst overdose death crises in America, and it's available right now. I want you to take a look at it. It's available. So what you need to do is go to salemnow.com. It's kind of like their streaming service, salemnow.com, and you can click Border Battle and watch it right now. You'll hear directly from Border Patrol agents and drug patrol agents about the horrific conditions that are happening at the border, and hopefully some solutions that will come out of this, because I think that's what a lot of people complain about, Jordan, even with beyond something like this. It's great that they're showing attention to it. We did it with the Revenge of the Taliban series. You have to shine a light on what's happening, but we did try to give hope and a solution, because I think that's why People get a little lost in some of the talking heads, especially in the conservative world, that just go out there and they yell about Biden and they don't offer any sort of
solution. I think Republicans still have not figured out the health care. And supposedly, they've just said...
What do you mean?
Never came up with a alternative to the Affordable Care Act, to Obamacare. Didn't like it. We fought it legally. Didn't think it was legally correct. Policy-wise, it's now done.
It's done. They're not. No one even cares.
No one even talks about it, really.
No. It's like monkeypox. It just disappears.
Some of it was less effective than...
When was the last time you heard about monkeypox?
The Democrats had hoped. No. They said that, you know, that was a good example of if people don't react wild, if you can't tap into, like, the fear, it goes away. Mm-hmm. Like, would COVID have been different?
It's still happening. People are still getting it, but it...
It's not deadly either, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's different.
It is weird, though, that, I mean, it is somewhat in the news, but it's never in the TV news cycle anymore.
No, but Ukraine goes back and forth. Someday, yeah, you know, for 2 weeks or I feel like for like a month there, we weren't really talking about Ukraine very much. And then now suddenly again, we're talking about it all the time because of the nuclear threat. I think, again, we are 28 days out from the election. Wild stuff happens. We're in the middle of it. That's the cool thing to listen to our broadcast is whatever you woke up to breaking news today, we know those people.
Mm-hmm.
And we give them a place to talk. Like I said, it's not that we probably agree with everything, but she's moving our way. And also, I think, sees the danger of the bigger picture issue, which is not all just partisan politics. It's cultural.
Yeah, it's cultural. It's Hollywood. It's how you can impact a different change. Look, on
and corporate.
In Thursday's show, we're going to have on John Schneider. You may know him from The Dukes of Hazzard. You may know him from Smallville and Hollywood. He was in Christmas in Tune last year. He's a working actor, producer, director, and he has...
He's going to be on set with us.
He's going to be on set with us. He's got a new movie, To Die For, that is a very conservative, you know, driven audience. I mean, they're fully embracing it because they know there's an audience there. But also, like you said, he's got a very large hardcore fan base. He really does. Hundreds of thousands of subscribers on YouTube.
Yep.
Sells tons of these movies and can maybe, as much as he has really fun movies and some of them are silly and are have a really just a great, you know, fun message. This one is a little bit different, and we'll discuss that on Thursday's show. But those are the kind of voices that are going to start kind of even appearing more in the room. And when you have someone like a Tulsi Gabbard kind of taking a little step, you have people like John Schneider taking a large step,
yep,
while still being able to maintain, we'll talk about that, some of their Hollywood career and their respect and their field. So we'll talk about that. It should be pretty interesting. So
yeah, it's a crazy time. I mean, just today, and we were talking about this earlier, the secular show, and I don't want to repeat all of that.
You should go back and watch the Tulsi interview.
Yeah, the Tulsi interview, definitely. And Rick Riddell was part of our team, was on earlier. And it was breaking news at the time because the Biden administration came out right with every single Democrat senator within the last 12 hours. We need to reassess our relationship with Saudi Arabia. And I think like a lot of audience would say, oh, they're not great. Maybe they're not great. Maybe, yeah. But they are like very important to the United States when it comes to our military, our national security, intelligence, and now, because we're not energy independent, energy.
Yeah.
And the only reason we're in a place where the Saudis can cut oil and really mess with our economy is because we had a president come in who said he wants to ban, you know, fossil fuels.
Yeah, and they had that famous, you know, meeting a few months ago, and
that didn't obviously work.
Didn't clearly go very well. And I mean, yes, there are things.
They're pretty pragmatic.
You know, it's been interesting with the Saudis. I've been trying to follow it because a lot
of Riyadh's opened up a lot more.
Yeah, and a lot of entertainment is moved there too.
It used to, you could not like go there really.
No, I mean,
unless you were a Muslim going on a trip to Mecca, like making the Hajj or the pilgrimage.
Well, I think that
it was not really open for business. Like in that, it was business. But I say it's not open to just casual travel.
I don't know how much of it is legitimate and how much it is them trying to do.
They're sports washing
publicity. You know, trying to
live golf.
Yeah, and then they the WWE is there in a couple of weeks. And they're there every year, multiple times a year. Now, I know the WWE is getting paid quite a bit to go do that, but it's been very interesting to see in a few years.
The World Cup's about to be in Doha.
Well, it's been interesting to see from a few years from them to go from women were not allowed to be on the show to now women are going to, I believe, have, they are on the show, they're wrestling, and there could be women in the audience, and they're promoting, look, women can now drive. You know, this sounds ridiculous when I say it out loud, but, but if you know the history
for
there.
For Saudi Arabia,
the fact that there are women professional wrestling is wild. And you have, you know, Hulk Hogan coming out to Real America, and they're shooting off red, white, and blue fireworks, and you had Bill Goldberg win the world title. You go, there's some interesting things happening here in terms of Saudi Arabia going, we at least are aware, even if we don't like the fact that we have to go a little more progressive, if you will. Progressive is the wrong word, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Compared to where they are, sure. They are noticing, and I think the Crown Prince notices, that, oh, to be a player on this stage, we have to adapt some.
Yeah.
But then when you have these threats happening.
They can only push so. I mean, listen, they got to deal with their own constituency, which
100%.
Is radicalized.
Yeah.
And they've done a better job of that, I think. But a lot of the time, so they're dealing with a population that is very radicalized. And it's not a good time to be messing with. If you've got problems, deal with it.
Well, we already got problems around privately. The world right now.
Yeah, we don't need to keep losing friends.
Yeah.
And you know, when they say, like, oh, it's because it's Saudi Arabia plus Russia, that's not great. If they made the calculation that we'll go in with Putin, if that's really what you believe, then we have fallen so far in world standing. And I don't think we're incapable of coming back pretty quickly, actually, with a change in leadership. But you're digging holes for people that we're going to have to dig out of.
Yeah.
And we're already digging the holes. But these are self-inflicted. The only reason we're having to even ask them for anything is because we closed the Keystone Pipeline construction. We said, you know, we have a president who wants to, you know, end all fossil fuel.
Well,
and it kind of re-energized fossil fuel in the rest of the world. And it's not the same. You know, all these countries don't do the same standard we do.
What do you mean?
Drilling.
Oh, they don't have the same.
Environmental protection.
Oh, yeah, no.
And they don't have the same human rights protection. We're about to see a very interesting World Cup. It's not in Saudi, it's in Qatar, but it's another place. I've been there, and it's basically like a city, tall towers, a lot of corporate, desert, or Arabian Gulf or Persian Gulf, depending on who you're talking to. Mm-hmm. And they're about to host the World Cup in the middle of, you know, John Hamm's doing the ads. John Hamm Santa. Did you ever think John Hamm would be Santa?
No. I look forward to watching
it. He is now. He's a very fit Santa.
And you get, like you said, the World Cup's going to be over.
Have you not seen those ads yet?
I don't know.
Because he's upset. Santa is mad because
they moved the World Cup.
The World Cup is now in the middle of. You know, he's supposed to be the star, which maybe you argue that would be the star.
I don't think that ad's going over well in Saudi Arabia.
I don't think it's for them.
No. Well, they have those too. I've noticed that with WWE is there's two different feeds. There's a feed that is for the locals, not just like language, like the video packages. They get different things, and at one point they showed the wrong one, and it was a whole big problem.
Oh, it's it's the morality police of these places. It's not, I am not endorsing their governed political system, but I do endorse reality.
Yeah.
Which is what we always do here. That's, I think, the difference between us and a lot of other people.
Yeah.
We live in the real world.
We'll wrap up here. We can probably hit the music somewhat soon here. We were watching some of the responses to the Kanye stuff. And some of it from the conservative media that was trying to, like, back it up.
Well, that's what I say. Maybe I am, like, just a Republican. And I need a label where you have party control, because some of this is not good. A lot of it is not good. It just exposes that you can't be all in politics this just for money and business success. You can be part of it. Obviously, Fox News is a great example of that. Podcasts can be an example of that.
Yeah.
It's not you don't want to be successful. But it should not be your first goal.
Be honest.
Issue policies, winning elections, winning people over instead of isolating or losing voters just so you get more clicks.
Yeah. Well, listen, coming up on this Thursday show, John Schneider's going to be here. Watch it. It's going to be a great time. And we'll be back on Thursday.
SeculoBrothers.com.
Yeah, write a review and all that stuff. Be great. We appreciate it. Tell your friends. See you on Thursday.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.